The question by brother was, how do we say Ameen after the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha? So inshallah, the two take over now.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد آمين. After the recitation of Fatiha can be said in two ways. آمين 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 Ameen. The meaning is, oh Allah, accept our prayer. Oh Allah, accept our supplication. In Arabic grammar, Ameen is known to be Ismul Fa'il. Ismul Fa'il. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَعْمَلُ عَمَلَ الْفَعْلِ وَلَا يَقْبَلُ شَيْئًا من علاماته. It is the name of a verb. It acts as a verb without receiving any of its sign. Ameen, it means, oh Allah, accept our supplication. I have another question here in Arabic saying, what is the position of saying Ameen in Islam, either prayer or after supplication? It is lawful to say Ameen after supplication. And after the recitation of the Quran, it is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to say Ameen. Even the Prophet ﷺ said, Imam, altogether, with the person behind Imam, also he who is performing the prayer individually will all say Ameen. And whosoever Ameen come at the same time with the one said by the angel, Allah will forgive him upon all the sins. Which means the angels also are saying Ameen. If you look to the order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِذَا قَالَ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالضَّالِّينَ فَقُولُوا آمِينَ. After the Imam recites غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, you should answer by saying Ameen. This shows clearly that the part of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say that. But we don't say it is of obligation to do that, because the scholars of Islam are saying that if you don't say Ameen, it has nothing to do with your prayer. So your prayer is not considered null just because you don't say Ameen. So that is why we said it is sunnah to say Ameen. Also, whenever you are supplicating for something, you should say Ameen at the end of it. So similar to what the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did as the righteous people. Now,
inshallah, I wouldn't be able to take all the questions about Shan, Alan, to the best that I can bring. There's a question here. Please explain the issue of boycotting as related to the Jewish products. The issue of boycotting products made by the Jews.
Alhamdulillah, the issue of boycotting products made by the Jews is an idea of some of the Islamic scholars. But if really you know their products and you boycott it, knowing what is the effect of boycotting their products to be effective, and nobody in Islam will oppose you. But in the situation whereby we don't know certainly and specifically what are their products, what are the products made by the Jews, you may be unjust. You may consider products that are not Jewish products to be Jewish. And by boycotting those products, maybe you may cause damage to others who did no bad to your Muslim brothers. So if you are certain about their product, then you boycott it, knowing what is the effect that that can do to their economic. So nobody among the Islamic scholars will oppose you. But the problem goes where you don't know certainly, specifically, what are their products. Because people may be talking of these minerals, Coca-Cola and Fanta, and saying they are Jewish products, Maggi, Jewish products, everything will become Jewish products. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be just and not to be unjust. So, in order to be fair in your justification, you have to verify and know certainly that those products are made by the Jews. And when you talk of Jews, do you mean those in Israel only or those in America and Europe? So you have to verify. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنْ لَكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. Don't use the enemy between you and others to be in fear. You have to be just. Because that is more close for you to be pious.
Inshallah, the written plan, in the sense that I don't want to be much time with you. So, donors who raise their hands, you please put their questions in writing. We wouldn't so waste time for people to come out and ask questions. People should just put their questions in writing and call me, please. So, may I not forgive us all. Another question here goes to us. Frustration due to the Quran recitation of Salat, is it compulsory? Frustration when reciting the Quran during Salat, is it compulsory?
What does that mean by frustration?
The question seems to be ambiguous.
Frustration. To prostrate. Frustrating during the recitation of the Holy Quran when you come to practice. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the issue of frustration, it is not compulsory, but it is part of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you do it, you will be rewarded, and if you don't, no any punishment. That is why Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu made a recitation on the pulpit, reciting some of the verses. And bend down to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next coming week, he did the same thing without prostrate. So, and he was asked, and he mentioned, I did that in order to explain to you that it is not compulsory. If you do it, you will be rewarded. If you don't do it, no any point. Because it's better to do it than not doing it. It is better to do it than not doing it. Because by you prostrating in those verses of the Quran, that will deeply make shaitan ashamed. If you remember last time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the shaitan to prostrate for our forefather Adam alayhi salam, but he rejected. Whenever you come So it's called whereby you are supposed to prostrate in the Quran recitation. Shaitan feel more ashamed of himself if you prostrate. So that's why I say it is more better for you doing it than not doing it.
These other questions is marriage and prostitution. If a brother sees a woman he loves and also wishes to marry her, but if their financial capability has not been reached, can the brother be a friend to the sister in order to keep her for marriage?
I don't know what do you mean by age capability. Since you are not a kid, you know what you are of, and you are capable of handling a woman, what is the age capability there that is not a marriage? If you are not ready for marriage, you do never approach a woman for marriage. Don't waste your time and don't waste our own time. Because it seems to me many of our youth brothers do take having a sister as a girlfriend, as a fancy that you have to be in the same group of others, do as they do, so that you look as they look like. We are talking Islamically, we are not talking, we are not just saying that you should do whatever you like, you are a Muslim. Never you approach any woman if you are not ready to marry her. And don't approach her for trial. Because some people may approach a woman not ready to marry her just to see how she will respond to their demand. If you are not ready for marriage, don't approach anybody. Don't waste your time, don't waste her own time. And the financial aspect, it is not compulsory that you must have a certain amount of money before you marry. It is not compulsory. So far you have what to feed the woman with, and you have a shelter for her, and you have the ability of clothing her, finish. There is nothing left. So you can marry. Even if you are a kid, you are a boy of 5 or 6 years old, your father can marry a wife for you. But if you are talking of yourself, it is not admissible in Islam for you to get involved in marrying any person before you are mature. So therefore, in your issue, everybody here, I don't think none of you is not mature. So there is no inability of age. And if you are talking of financial issue, I believe majority of you also have that capability. You don't have that problem. Because assuming it is your father or your mother that is sponsoring you now in schooling, you can easily use what you have been given for schooling and use a part of it to take care of your wife. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one of his traditions, الطعام الواحد يكفي اثنين وطعام اثنين يكفي ثلاثة. The food of man will be enough for two. The food of two is enough for three. So far your intention in getting married is just to keep the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to do what contradicts it allows you. And you will find it easy. And we have some instances, as you know, of brothers who are like you, students. They did it and they succeeded. Am I right? So you also, you can do it. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whenever you determine to do something, and depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily Allah will be with you. Many of you don't think of business while they are schooling. It is because of the early marriage they are involved in. They are now big business people. Some are farming. Some are computer operators, and so on and so forth, and they succeeded. So you also, you can do it. So if you depend on Allah, you will succeed. And really, marriage will be the solution of many problems you may be facing in this type of environment you are living in, because you will be seeing things that are contrary to your religion, things that may turn you upside down to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. So by marrying, inshallah, you will overcome all those problems. If you really believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will indeed help you. May Allah help us all. So there is no any age inability, no financial inability.
The next question brings to us. Salaam alaikum. Please, what can one do when you think of the proof of the bathroom and your parents ask after the person's mother's name, age, name, etc. After that has been said, you are not compatible and they have checked your style. That you and the brother, you have checked your style and then you are not compatible.
Alhamdulillah. If a female sister takes a proposed husband on, in many occasions, what is said in the question is reality, especially in the part of the mother. Because mother seems to be non-believers and the father. They will like to go and check is their stars rhyme or not. All that is out of lack of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't need to go through that, you don't need to pass through that exercises. Because it is an act of unbelief, lack of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then, sisters, never this type of problem happen in your family. You are asked to give the name of the mother of your proposed husband, when she was born, and her father's name, etc. You're supposed not to respond to their demands. I don't know the name of the mother, nor I know when she was born, and I don't know anything about them. And you have to go deeply in preaching to your mother. Let her know what she's doing is contrary to the teachings of Islam. So far she's a Muslim. And if you come back to look at the life of your mother and your mother, you come to the reality of that what your mother is doing is just rubbish. Because who is the problem? Who checked for your mother and your mother, for your father and your mother, that they will be suitable for each father? Even though they sometimes fight and quarrel. And if you look to the history of your father and your mother, since you are matured, you will see in many occasions that your father is dragging your mother home. So, after all, your father is suitable for your mother, he wouldn't have dragged her if he couldn't want to go back home. So this will show you that your mother is not doing what is rubbish, which is not supposed to do. Leave everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So far, you are satisfied. But the person who proposed you for marriage, so depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to convince your father and mother. And they don't have the right of forcing you to marry another person, not the one you want. They can just advise you. I'm saying Islamically. They can just advise you. If you insist that you are not going to marry any other person, but that man, really, either sooner or later, you will marry him. So therefore, don't support them on that. Because if you support them on that, they may lead you to kufr. And if you do support your mother on that, and that man wants to marry you, happens to know that you did that in collaboration with your mother, our advice to him is not to marry you again. I think you understand me. If the female sister happened to collaborate with her mother in going to look at the dad, the damaged dad. So, if you happen to know that, my advice to you, if you happen to know that the lady you want to marry is that with her mother, my advice to you is not to marry her again. Because in case, in the future, she will also do as her mother did to your own daughter. Will she be a good wife to you then? Never. So therefore, be very careful, you ladies and sisters. Don't support mothers on what is contrary to the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I'll take these two questions at the same time. Inshallah. Please, I need an authentic reference from the Quran or Hadith where it was stated that future patients is not acceptable in Islam. That's the first question, that please, an authentic reference from the Quran or Hadith where it is stated that future patients is not acceptable in Islam. Second question goes to us. As an agricultural student, is pig shipping acceptable in Islam? As an agricultural student,
Alhamdulillah, you need an authentic verse or something tradition of the Prophet ﷺ showing that Islam prohibits people. Assuming you know something about Islam, that is never a question. But if you are a learner, maybe a question. Open any book of the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any book of the Islamic jurisprudence, check in it, you will see Babu Taswir. Babu Taswir, the chapter of picture. So therefore, if you open that, you see many traditions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which are all authentic, some in the Sahih al-Bukhari and others in Sahih al-Muslim. And we have many books that are written on this very issue, in which traditions pertaining this issue we are gathered. Traditions that are authentic from the Prophet of Allah, we are all gathered in this very work. So that is why I said it is not a question, because it is something known in the religion of Islam, just darura. Either you like it or not, it is known to everybody. Because we have, all traditions we have on this issue are authentic. Even though we don't have any verse of the Holy Quran discussing about the issue, Allah said in the Holy Quran, ما هلكم الرسول فخذوا وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. What is brought to you by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, accept it. And what he forbids you from doing, you have to keep away from doing it. من يطع الرسول فأطاع الله, you obey the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, indeed you have obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the tradition of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in Sahih al-Bukhari, in Sahih al-Muslim, there are many traditions there. There are many traditions there. If you want to know some of the traditions, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لعن الله المصورين. لعن الله المصورين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called those taking picture. Either you draw a statue, an image, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused you. If you are caused by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will quickly go astray. And being an agriculture student or whatever you call yourself does not give you an excuse to keep something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. But if you can't obtain that knowledge except by using those items, you have to limit the using of those items to when they are needed. You don't have to exceed that limit. If you do that, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to be offending him by doing that. But if you keep taking care of those items while you are not in need of them, verily, you are committed. Let it be in your laboratory. Put it where you carry out your experimental work. Don't carry it always all about. If you do that, inshallah, you are not doing what is wrong, inshallah.
This question.
This question leads us, I will take the two questions down,
He said,
and I read about Abu Bakr, that he left his family with giving them anything for 9 years. Without giving them anything for 9 years because of dawah. Since that was anything to this hadith, that is the first question. That he said, please usually quote an hadith about Abu Bakr, that he left his family without giving them anything for 9 years because of dawah. Now attending to this idea, the second question raised to us, can the Muslim observe their salat behind the Sufi Muslim? And can the Sufi observe their salat behind the Sufi Muslim?
Sufi behind Sufi? Alhamdulillah, the first question that Mr. Bleek usually quotes an hadith that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu left his family 9 years without any provision for the cause of da'wah. You want to know how authentic is that hadith? First of all, if something is referred to anybody in Islam, not the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is not known to the hadith. It is not known in Islamic law as hadith. But it is known in Islamic law as al-adab. Al-adab. And when we are talking about the sources of rules and regulations and law in Islam, we are not talking of hadith. We are talking of Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Secondly, there is no need for you to ask me about the authenticity of this adab. Why not ask the Tabligh themselves? You have to ask them, where did you find this hadith? Yeah, this hadith. Tell us about its authenticity. You don't have to leave people for saying what's right and right in Islam without you questioning them. Because if you leave them like that, you give them more courage to see whatever they like. And we have a rule in Islam that al-fitna du min al-deen. Walau la al-fitna du laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. Change in which we know people who cross cause a certain tradition from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is compulsory to be known and to be mentioned whenever there is doubt. Because without knowing those things, you give room to anybody to say whatever he likes. So therefore, this is tabligh. Tabligh, they have a certain protocol. The protocol is that you don't need to know the authenticity of an hadith, which they don't know even. You don't know, because it's when you have knowledge, you can know. No knowledge. What then can you say you know? If there is knowledge, you can know. If there is no knowledge, what can you do? You ask them, they will just tell you they had it from their Mawlana had it from another Mawlana, and another Mawlana from another Mawlana. And when you say Abu Bakr left his family for 9 years without any provision, it contradicts Islam totally. Because we need to understand this Islam in reality. Abu Bakr is the superior prophet in Islam after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They know about Islam really, and they put it in practice in the best manner. And they know in Islam you can't be an husband without you fulfilling some certain conditions, among which is to take care of your family. And you are saying Abu Bakr left family 9 years without provision. Is that Abu Bakr that we know? Please answer. Maybe it's another Abu Bakr from Pakistan. Because if you are talking about Abu Bakr as we know in Islam, they are not of that manner. They are not of that nature. And come to the issue of Abu Bakr. By this matter, are you trying to prove that Abu Bakr is the fourth Imam of the Tabligh? Now, who is going to accept that? Then what are you going to do with Muhammad Ilyas al-Qandahalawi, who came 13 something of Hijra? He's the founder of the league. And you are now referring to Abu Bakr. In what group? Are they tabligh also? They are not tabligh. So ask them to give you their reference. You know. So if you are talking of Fadail al-Kamal, Hayat al-Sahaba, this book they read, it comprises many traditions that are not authentic. Even some of them are false. They are fabricated. So you have the authentic books which are uncountable, which have uncountable hadith. You leave them, you don't refer to them, but you are searching for what? In books that comprises of traditions and fabricated hadith. So we need to worry ourselves please, you have to try to understand something. Let each and every one of us now is struggling to gain what in the hereafter? The paradise. If you are trying to gain the paradise, don't worry yourself by following others, not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. just as people who follow the right path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions openly in the Holy Quran that he is pleased with them. Those are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as you can see, many of them have been assured that they will enter the paradise in the hereafter. During their lifetime, they have been assured. Among whom are Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, Hattori, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Kaz ibn Abi Waqqas. Naam? So, alhamdulillah. In all other movements, of redemption, can you give instance of people who have been assured to enter the paradise? Now, not even the founders of other movements. You don't know the number of the hours are going to be put in care of. Chocolate of their followers. How as a man of wisdom who knows what he's doing, am I going to spoil my time, waste my time with people who are not telling about what they are doing? Leave what is certain to go to what is uncertain. And everybody will claim that what he's doing is the reality, what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did. But you have what to use to judge is to look at what they are doing and look what is Sahaba did. By that, you come up to reality to know the fact who is following the right path and who is on the wrong path. So Abakar is not disobliging, and what you brought is unauthentic. Number two, he said, and a Sufi brother offer his prayer behind another Sufi. What is strange here? A Muslim name. A Sunni. Can a Sunni brother? No, don't say a Sunni. Can a Muslim? I'm correcting the question. Can a Muslim? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call us Muslims. So, can a Muslim offer his prayer behind a Sufi? Because nowhere in the Quran, nowhere in the Sunnah, we are called Sufi. The name known in Islam is Islam, Muslim. Can you offer your prayer behind a Sufi? Yes, you can offer your prayer behind a Sufi under condition. Some of which are, you have to believe that that Sufi has not reached the point of being a kafir. If you come this path, yes, you can put your prayer behind him. He has not become a kafir. How will he become a kafir? He become a kafir through many things, among which are, yeah, some of the Sufis saying that Salat al-Fatih is more high in position than the Quran. It's more superior than the Quran. If you believe that something is equal to the Quran, a saying or a man, if you believe it's equal to the Quran, you become a kafir. Talk less of you saying that it is superior than the Quran. Do we believe this? If you see a Sufi saying that Salat al-Fatih is superior than the Quran, don't pray behind him. Because what he's saying is kufr. It's kufr. And we know the superiority of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the saying of others is similar to the superiority of Allah himself to others. cow there. Can you say that? Salat al-Fatih is superior than the Quran, and you will be believed to be a Muslim, not a Muslim. They are even saying that Salat al-Fatih is superior than the Quran 6,000 times. 6,000 times. How can a Muslim believe in that rubbish and nonsense? So if there is somebody saying that and believing it, don't perform a prayer behind it. Because it's not a Muslim. Also, some of the people may say, Allah has made it lawful upon them to offer their prayer without ablution. There are some people saying that. That they can offer their prayer without ablution. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it lawful for them when they answer the call of the creator not to purify their private acts. And to perform prayer without ablution. How then will you perform your prayer behind that act of power? And there are some of the Sufis also saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away from them the obligatory of worship. No more worship. It's obligation on them. You see, people of those nature don't pray with them. Or somebody will tell you now that I'm just from Mecca. Just see him entering his private room, coming out after 2 minutes, I'm now from Mecca. What did you do there? You have just offered our Lord prayer behind today. So don't pray behind him, because all those people are the people who have collaborations with the jinn. They don't believe in Allah, they only believe in the jinn. They are not good Muslims. If the Sufis of that nature don't perform your prayer behind him. And if you see people dancing in the mosque, how do you feel? If you offer a prayer behind an imam who is dancing after the iqamah, how will you feel? Maybe you have never seen something of that nature before. See, after iqamah, imam dancing, and say we are doing dhikri, glorification of Allah, they will be dancing. Don't pray behind them. So if you see people of those nature, don't pray behind them. That is why the Council of Ulema in Saudi Arabia happened about the issue of offering prayer behind the Tijaniyah. So especially if we know what they believe in and what they do. So they answer by saying it is unlawful for a Muslim to offer his prayer behind them. It is unlawful. Because all they are saying is contrary to the Quran, contrary to the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yes,
Alhamdulillah, is it lawful for a female to recite the Holy Quran with her head uncovered? Yes, there's nothing bad here. We don't know any portion in the Holy Quran or any tradition from the Prophet Wasallam saying that it's unlawful for her to recite the Holy Quran only if she covers her head. We don't know. If you know, you can tell us now. Maybe after 2 weeks, you search and tell us. Inshallah, we want to benefit. Now, secondly, can you offer your prayer near there is a female with her head uncovered? Yeah, you can do that. What is passing? Will you be staring at her, looking at her, or will you be performing your prayer? Is she your wife? If she's your wife, let her stay behind you. She can just stay in front of you, then you perform your prayer. But let her stay aside. Lack of covering her head has nothing to do with the acceptance of your prayer. Some things that are said to people have been said by people who are known to be avars, who don't know the authenticity of what they're saying. They just read from books without knowing what is correct and what is wrong in what they are reading, because they don't have the knowledge of differentiating. They don't have the knowledge of knowing the authenticity of what they are reading. And all that messages has been passed to people, and people implement them. So that is the problem many may be having. We were told why we don't search. You have to search to know what is black. Meaning, a female is in her house, and she wants to recite the Holy Quran. Is it compulsory on her to cover her head? If she recites the Holy Quran, cover her head outside, it is because she is outside in front of men that are not her husband and are not her relatives. She covers her head because of them and not because she wants to recite the Quran. You have to understand that. But in the situation whereby she is together with her husband, together with her children, together with her relatives, she's not going to have to leave her head uncovered and recite the Holy Quran. We don't know anything from the Quran or the Sunnah that says she must not be without. And if you happen to marry and you have good understanding of Islam, and you happen to try to implement the Islam you understand incorrectly, wallahi, you will easily turn the life of your wife into disaster. Because when you tell your wife, whenever and whatever the case may be, and in any condition, you must keep your head covered. Even if you are together with her, cover. Together with her children, head cover. Always cover. So when she goes to place her hair, she keep her head covered. So Islam, wallahi rahmat. Islam is mercy. Because if we understand it. A woman inside our room, inside our house, where a stranger cannot look to her, she's very free. She's very free. So it is your own responsibility now to fight for a very good environment to live with your wife Islamically. But if you live in a situation whereby you will be 10 family men in a house, sharing the same toilet, the same bathroom, yes. And in the situation whereby people can just jump into your room without permission, yes. Cover. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow his mercy upon you, whereby you have the ability of renting an apartment where you and your wife can be in a very good privacy, yes, she feels free.
But without that, yes, she must cover up and cover up.
Inshallah, I'll take these two questions at the same time. Does using hijab without covering the face debar me from applying powder, lip gloss, perfume, bangles, and rituals? Including your face, please address that. Using hijab without using the niqab, does it apply that one can use niqabs? Secondly, I ask that it's allowed to use other colors for hijab and niqab. Please name the colors, name those colors for clarity.
Alhamdulillah. It is obvious in Islam that when a woman is asked to cover up her body to get out of her face, it means when she's going out of her house, she has to go out in that manner. And if she is supposed to go out in that manner, it means there is no chance for enemy to come. Even when she covered her face, no chance for makeup. Doubtless of you that you not cover your face. Do you understand? If you cover your face, no makeup. What a she that don't cover her face. So no chance for makeup. The makeup is for what purpose? To call for customer? I don't know, I'm asking. If you are married, what other customers are you searching for? And if you are not married, don't you know Islamically that niqab can turn what is ugly to be beauty? And if somebody happens to get in love with you just because of your makeup, when you don't use makeup after the marriage, how will you look like in front of her? So therefore, you have to take care of that. No chance for makeup. Whenever you are going out of your house, no chance for makeup. Either you cover your face or not. That is if you are Muslim. We are not talking of non-Muslims. Now, the other question is saying that after hearing that it is lawful Islamically to use hijab, not necessarily black, what are the other colors? They are the colors you know in life. Any color you know in your life, you know red, but red is unlawful on male, Islamically. Only if that red has mixture of other colors from male, but female do not know. So if I use brown, you can use yellow, you can use blue, white, and all kinds of colors. It is a condition that the hijab you are going to use must not have combined color. Only one color, plain color. Let it be white only, yellow, brown, etc. Was not white and brown and red, black. It must be one. Because what is the meaning of hijab? It is something you wear in order to cover your beauty. Not something you wear in order to show your beauty. You see, some of the so-called hijab is never hijab. It is used to attract and to call people to look at the beauty. Am I right? It's not more hijab. Because we see females 9 yards that are shiny, silky. So that, yes, if you look at that, you take another look.
Allah, Masha Allah. أختار سبيل حجاب نسأل الله السلامة والعافية.
إن شاء الله first the asking of questions and we will take some announcements and the gentle will reach the news. Inshallah, the news is very important to us. We think that we will get informed. And from here on, we can have our own dream of having our own media stations, which is very important for us as Muslims. We need our own media. So the dream starts from here. Inshallah, the application. So the PRO will read out the announcements for us.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.